Leviticus 23. Now, I hope all of you have heard that Passover is a feast that cannot be celebrated until you're fed up. You understand that? I mean it. So, all of the things about these feasts, there's nothing here that's optional. Whether it's the Sabbath or Passover, it says these are the feasts of the Lord. And so, we have to think, we have to change our thinking that we're not performing the feasts at the set time, which is the word for feast, moed, set time. We see the feast. You understand the difference? So it's only that once we were born in the world and we did all the stuff, we tried to get to the best, the land of Goshen, we experienced the plagues, and we are ready to leave the world, instead of improving the world, that we can experience Passover. We're fed up, we're ready to get up. I mean, that's so seminal to what the feasts are about that you can't understand anything else unless you hear that. Now, all of the feasts after, from Passover to Pentecost, including Sabbath, are tied to Passover. So you can't experience any of the others until you first experience Passover. You can't experience Passover until you're fed up. A better way of saying experience is see. You can't see Passover until you're fed up. It's not being fed up that are the scales that's on your eyes. You understand that? So it's real, really critical that if you're fed up, and we've had Passover, that what you're doing now is the counting of the Omer. And the counting of the Omer is like Passover, the experience, Gary said it this afternoon, and the Passover experience, how can I say it? It's almost a period of mourning. The period between Passover, there's a touch of joy, but then the post-Passover experience is almost an experience of mourning. Mm-hmm. And that's what the period, the counting of the Omer. During that period of time, no marriages were permitted. You weren't permitted to get a haircut. No musical instruments were played. All kinds of phenomena occurred during that period, because what has happened to you? You've had the Passover. You've had the burial. You've even had the resurrection. But the resurrection, as applied to flesh, can only produce a sense of mourning. If you try to apply if you don't understand the resurrection, then you'll just try to make the flesh better. But if you understand the resurrection and you try to make it apply to flesh, by definition, you have to have this overwhelming sense of mourning. Now, this happens then for 40 days, the 40 days of the 50. And then there about the 40th day, again, all this time, no marriages, no music, no haircuts. And then all of a sudden, around here about the 40th day, comes the mystery feast. It's this feast that's shrouded in mystery from time immemorial. Lag Ba'Omer. And at that feast, all hell breaks loose. There's a huge party, there's bonfires lit at night, they shoot arrows into the sky. In fact, part of the thing that the toys that are given to the kids are these, they're hand-carved bow and arrow. I mean, what do they call it? The crossbows. But they shoot arrows into the sky. And then the next day, it's back to the same old stuff.
Okay.
Morning. It's only that one, there's a brief time. And it's not even all day, it's just that one time at night. It's boom. At sunset on Lake Bonhomer, there's this period where there's, you light the bonfires, you shoot arrows into the sky, you drink wine, you even get engaged. Then.
And how long after Passover is that?
It's about 40 days.
So you have a 2-hour period where you get engaged.
Did you have a place in
that references that?
And references what?
That 40th day, I just want to make a note by it.
No. No, this is from the Talmud. Now, the reason that the log Ba'omer is, what happened is...
That log?
Log.
L-A-G?
It's either, it's spelled L-O-G and L-A-G because it's a transliteration instead of a translation.
Omer is Omer?
Omer. Log Ba'omer.
And just, could you say that, give me a... Definitely, just very simple. So I'll have 40th day, like, but I'll, you know, just like.
Well, it's not, again, it's not necessarily. You can't legally say it's on the 40th day.
Oh.
It's around. I mean, it's celebrated by some as early as the 33rd day. By others, it's celebrated a week or so later. I mean, It's a mystery thing. Nobody can put their finger on it, huh?
That's what I was going to say. What does it mean? What does log bar omer mean?
What's log? Something about the omer.
Yeah, don't worry about it. I don't want to study. We're not going to study that tonight. I just want to give you that. Set this up. The reason for the morning, another reason for the morning here, is that during this period of time, one of the great rabbis of ancient times, 23, some huge number, I forgot, I can't remember the number, but it was a large number of his disciples died of the plague. And they died of the plague during this period because they didn't have respect for each other. And so one tradition says that that's the reason for the mourning during the counting of the Omer. But the point of it is, Passover is a little bit, there's this, it's a lot of fun, it's neat, it's wonderful. Like Ba'omer, when we get to it, it'll be neat for a minute, and it'll be fun, and we'll have fun. But there's still mourning. And there's mourning until the Feast of Shavuot, or the Feast of Weeks.
Pentecost.
Now, let's look at it.
This is so appropriate.
The Lord spake unto Moses, Leviticus 23, verse 1. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto the children of Israel, and say unto them concerning the feasts. And again, the word feast, you got to hear this. The word feast is a word that just means the set times. The appointed time. Speaking to the children, say unto them concerning the appointed times of the Lord. You understand that from one sense, all that life is about is to be able to see the appointed times. If you hear the appointed times, then you'll be able to see the appointed times. And the appointed times are the only reason time exists. Capisce? So feasts, appointed times. Everything else, we've said, you know, we've trivialized everything else by saying it's a non-event, but it really is a non-event. There's nothing else going on except the set times. And that's why it's so critical that you understand this, so that you'll get confused like bananas. A couple of the new bananas, the very, very green bananas, I got confused about good and evil. Well, I just don't understand how good God could cause or could let there be all this bad stuff.
We never said anything like that.
Yeah, well, I can remember. Oh boy, can I remember.
23rd, check.
I just don't think God could do it. I don't think God could.
What about the good people? What about the good advice?
Words are mutually exclusive. Levite, good Levite, oxymoron.
2 years. There are only Levites in and out of 2 years.
The only good Levites. Are...
Yeah. What happened? Retired Levite.
How long did you have? 2 years.
Hey, good point.
2 years of retired Levite.
No, no, no. It only means 50 years as a Levite.
50 years.
You misread it.
Always retired.
Old, decrepit, stall, blind. Can't hear.
Go to the home for old Levites.
Mark on the temple. Far
straight. Speak unto the children of Israel and say unto them concerning the feast of the Lord, which you shall proclaim to be holy convocations. Even these are my feasts. 6 days shall work be done, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of rest. Do you understand again? We studied this last night in bananas, but the numerology is real. I mean, you understand, you can't experience seven, rest, Sabbath, until you've experienced 666666, the highest that number can take you, 666666666. And you can't, but rest isn't the goal. Rest is what the world, or the religious world, thinks is salvation. The salvation is just the beginning. But you can't have anything else until you're totally satisfied with seven. You can't get to seven until you're totally fed up with six. None of these things are optional. I mean, whether it's one, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, all of these numbers are spiritual doors. That's why the reason it's 7 times 7 for 49 days for the Feast of Weeks is that those are the 49 stations of iniquity in coming out of the world. Hmm. And the 50th, you then reach sanctification.
49 stations.
What about that thing about forgiving people? How many times?
Seven times seven. Anyway.
What's this 49 something of iniquity?
49 stations.
Stations.
We're about number 3. We're in the real short grass.
Speed up.
You got all the time in the universe.
All the time there is.
Yeah, there's only this. You only got this much time.
How much time is it?
About 5 minutes.
All the time that's in the universe is located right here. We got it all.
So you better understand. We got to be. You got to be fed up with six, and then you can enter into seven. And seven, you got to be satisfied. To be at rest, you got to let things be as you got to let be what is. And then that's tested in every arena, the full spectrum. And when you can let be what is, then God automatically takes you to 8. You can't get from six to seven without getting fed up. You can't get from 7 to 8 without being content. Until you don't care if you get to 8.
Forgive.
you're striving, it puts you back in six.
The moment you start striving, you're back in six.
You must have backed down to one.
What's A?
Seven times seven is the fullness of the seven. Is 50th. So the eight and the 50th are the same. I know I'm gonna get.
Probably just gonna overheat.
Right, just gonna get on.
It's just seven times seven sevens. Seven of seven.
Do you understand there can't be anything more than seven?
Right. The only other thing is eight.
The numbering system for spirit. The base. All spirit is to the base. Any numbering system that we talk about with regard to spirit is always base seven. It's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, and then starts over. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, and one. It can never. It's not 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, and 11, and then one again. Can you understand?
Yeah. Well, spirit only goes up.
Help!
I mean, and the spiritual numbers is
trust you on this.
There is no nine.
Huh?
Because you go to seven and then.
No, you go to a new space seven.
So the 50th day is like. Is
the
like
50th is the same as the eight.
The hour, someone said last night.
The one is the same as the
that's
eight.
That's the year of Jubilee, too, isn't it?
50 is the year of Jubilee.
Good point.
Said
a blessing on Rabbi
Jubilee. but she copied it from Rabbinanet Pam.
Yeah, Rabbinanet.
A blessing on
Rabbi.
We're best friends. We can. We kind of think on the same way.
That's right.
You think in the same way, right?
Each of the feasts has to be
eight because it's out of time.
The what?
Each of the feasts, like 50, has to be eight because eight is out of the base seven. Base seven is time.
Yeah, but there's only two feasts that have 8 days. Three now.
Yeah, but each of the feasts is an appointed time. It's a set time. Therefore, it's out of time. It's always. There's only been one Pentecost, only been one Passover, only been one.
Yeah, but listen. Hanukkah is 8 days. Mm-hmm. Passover is 8 days.
Tabernacles.
And Tabernacles is 8 days.
Mm-hmm. Huh.
But when you step into.
Because Pentecost is the only thing. It happened, it just came in on the day. This is the day the Lord hath made. What?
Just need to know basis, I'm not going to do it.
We're never going to get any damn place.
No, it's bizarre.
Go.
I mean, this is all stuff like, we should have all known this stuff. And
I don't think I've ever had the numbers
my hand
all together
as big
like
as yours.
This. It looks like you've bits and pieces here and there. But all the, like the six.
We don't have all the numbers. We have six, seven, and eight. That's three of the
Well,
numbers.
Then you had, you know, you just about the
then
other
we
numbers,
have 50.
You said they were each like doors of experience.
Okay.
Gates. Which is stations. Interesting in the initiation idea when we're talking about
right.
eight stuff.
Eight.
So I'm collecting eight things.
Eight.
Eight stuffs.
I've got a book you need to read.
Okay.
Book it's called eights. Book of Eights. Yes.
Crazy Eights.
Yes.
Huh?
Crazy Eights.
Jenny Crazy. You think I'm just a stupid old fool. The truth is I'm an old fool.
Right.
Six days. Shall work or your work be done. And the seventh, blessed are they that die in the Lord, that they may rest from their labors, and the works do follow them, because they're no longer theirs. And again, you got to hear this. Even tonight, among stealth, there are still those among you in whom the works are leading you. By the nose.
It's not I, is it?
I'm shocked.
John, it's not us.
John, that's one thing. Work and you have never had. You never had. That's never been your station. herbs in your space, you have a liquid.
The one who whistles out the answer.
Oh, right behind my herbs.
John has a different kind of craziness.
Yeah. John has a different one. You know, thank God for the grace. I mean, can you imagine God, I mean, John, if he had to work?
He said his family would starve.
Look at all of the
past.
Huh?
I have worked in the past.
When?
Periodicals.
One time.
No. I'm talking like sustained.
You mean like all the time?
Like for 6 or 7 days.
Like for a week. Like a solid week of work. What a thought.
Perish the
only
thought.
When the Baptist Convention was here did you work.
Yeah, I don't do that.
1 week.
I don't even do that anymore.
Yeah. Okay.
Where y'all put out a paper every day.
Oh, I remember that.
Mm-hmm. Why are you getting a paper out every day?
I will never be promoted.
He has reached the highest. No, he's reached the highest he can be.
What are they going to promote out to?
You have to be a Baptist.
But he's, I mean, but it's, I mean, he's still getting, he's, I mean, it's like the perfect.
You get raises?
Mm-hmm. For him, it's perfect.
Sort of.
But I would like, you know, this idea, it'd be fascinating to know more about the numerology stuff, because there's all these things, you know, that like this that I'd like, you know, I'd like to see it all kind of, you know, talked about. You know, it's such an interesting.
Well, what's interesting to do it is we almost have to.
Let's go ahead and count for a weekend.
I've got a neat book on that, like the alphabet, which is also about numbers because it's all the same. It's got a lot of
like three. Why does three, if you divide it, it keeps them? Three, like if you divide 3 into 100, it just keeps being 3, 3, 3, 3, 3, 3. Is that some sort of eternity kind of deal? Or?
Well, I mean, we're not going to do that tonight, but the same thing is like
about 9.
There are the primary numbers, the rational numbers, irrational numbers. You know, I'm not a mathematician. I don't claim to know. I just know some very simple things about.
Things, though.
Yeah. I just know. I know some of the simplistic, the symbols and the meaning of the symbols. But anyway, you shall do no work. It is the Sabbath of the Lord in all your dwellings, in all your temples. These are the feasts of the Lord, even holy convocations, which you shall proclaim in their seasons. And you can, in other words, you can't proclaim them except at the right time. And the right time has to be, it has to be both the right time from the standpoint of God, and it has to be the right time from the standpoint of the individual. That's why you can't have any ought against, because it's only in the right time, in the season. Can you see? He isn't doing this because he thinks he's wrong. I mean, doing what he thinks is right. Mm-hmm. No one has ever worshipped an idol.
He's got to have the liberty to do this, or he can never be free.
Right.
This is his only chance.
And the 14th day of the first month at even is the Lord's Passover. Now again, the first month, by definition of what has just been said here, can't be reached until you're fed up. You can't, there cannot be a, there can't be a first month until you're fed up. Once there's a first month and you're fed up, then you wait 2 cycles of 7 testing to see whether you're fed up.
Okay. That's great.
Then is the Passover.
We're back at Passover.
Then is Passover.
Because it's
2 cycles of 7 on the 14th day of the first month.
Oh, okay.
14th day. Nisan shall be the first month for you, the beginning of months for you. But it's only the beginning of months or the beginning of time after you're fed up.
There's something you said about, you know, about it being in its season and thinking about, you know, Passover, one of the things, it's about the blood, claim the blood. And there's something about when you're saying that, and I don't know how to articulate it, about not claiming the blood out of its appointed place and its appointed season.
Right.
That if you're doing that, you know, it's not effective, or somehow it's something's weird, it's askew. Because blood has to do with this thing in Egypt,
yep.
or somehow.
The first blood, I mean, blood, there's an infinite number of, blood symbolizes an infinite number of things. But the blood here can only symbolize, you can't see the blood, it has nothing to do with you. The blood is in there, the blood only symbolizes protection. You know, then as we go, remember as we see, and as we go through this period from, as we go through the counting of the Omer, remember there can be no law during the counting of the Omer, there's only mourning, because the law doesn't come until Pentecost. Now, blood has no meaning, really, from Passover to Pentecost, because you've left, the only meaning at Passover is, you've left your own door, your own house in the world. You stayed there till morning. Morning, you left, but now there's no protection except the community, because God no longer is dealing with you as an individual. So now, from the time of Passover until the time of Pentecost, the only protection is community, is the nation, is the people, is the no identity of yourself. You understand me? Because we don't know anything else about the blood until we get the law. Now, when we get the law, we see an infinite mysteries in the blood. We see access. We see, you know, 1,000 different meanings. We see sitting on the mercy seat. We see speaking as the oracle of God. We see the forgiveness of sin. We see the brought near to fellowship. We see all of those things at the law, but from the period of time, from here, from Passover until Pentecost, all we see is mourning, kind of dread. There's a certain expectancy. That's why, remember, the first century Christians, when they talked about Pentecost, it was the metropolis of the feasts, is what Jerome called it. Because it was the empowerment. It was the idea that, my God, I didn't make a mistake.
Yeah.
And this has got to be where we touch. This is what touches us. Now, there's all kinds of other stuff at Passover. We can see that Moses fed Israel communion at Passover. He fed them communion because he fed them unleavened bread and the lamb. And all the time they were walking then, there was not a feeble one among them. So there was healing in that communion. Anyway. We're getting off the subject here. I wish we had time. I never have enough time to talk about anything.
Okay. All the time in the universe, you said. It's the only place it exists.
In the 14th day of the first month, at even, or evening, is the Lord's Passover. On the 15th day of the same month is the fast or feast of unleavened bread unto the Lord. 7 days you must eat unleavened bread. In the first day you shall have a holy convocation. You shall do no servile work therein. Now that's the second day of this Passover period. That's why Christ had to be brought down from the cross so they wouldn't violate that holy convocation.
So this is after the 2 weeks of testing, the first 2 sevens, and this is into the third seven.
Well, this is the beginning now.
But this is after Passover, so
right.
Time has begun.
I got a question. This, I mean, right now, God is speaking to Moses, saying this. Is he saying this after they came out of Egypt? Is this like the next year he's telling them this and he's writing it down? Or is he telling them this before they came out of Egypt? When is he telling them this?
When, you remember what we've gone through? What? When the law is read, when God, what did God give Moses on Mount Sinai? What did they receive? They received, it says they received Torah.
Well, I think what he gave them was he let them see, and then he came down and tried to describe it.
Using, he showed them patterns, right?
Yeah, he used words.
But what he gave was that what? Remember, we talked about this before. The book of Genesis is the stories of what? It's called Torah, but it really doesn't have anything to do with law. It,
beginnings.
It's called the book of beginnings because it's what it is. It's 11 family histories. Remember? It's 11 family histories, and it's not supposed to be a history book or a science book. It's a history, the generations of 11 different things. And the reason it's called Torah is because to God, the patriarchs were Torah incarnate. What they did was Torah. Now, then comes Exodus. Exodus is again Torah. But a whole bunch of Exodus happened before
they forgot them.
This period here. It all happened back in here. A bunch of them here. But it's still, all of it's still called Torah. The book, when it says the law, let's look at that real quick. Go to Exodus 19. When the law is read, what's read? Remember?
Exodus, about Exodus 19 through about 10 chapters, several chapters.
Does anybody remember what the law is? What's read when it says the law is read, you know, at the Watergate, the law was read and the people were sad? How many times have we talked about this?
The curses and the blessings.
Okay. No, what was read was Exodus 20 through Exodus 30.
That's what
Lex said. Oh, I didn't know you said that. You said 20 to 30?
I thought you were ignoring me.
You said 20 and about anything else. In about
10
chapters.
Oh, okay. Exodus 20 to Exodus 30 was what was read when they said the law. Now,
just what they discovered when Hezekiah, when they rediscovered this was the law that they read, the
Gospel. No, it says that the books that they recovered, the books of the law, that's different than Torah. The books of the law were the fire.
So everything else is just kind of, that reiterates this, is just kind of an expansion on it.
It's the loss.
Remember? It goes, even in the Old Testament, it was, thou shalt love the law, the Lord with all thy. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy soul, thy heart, and thy mind. Okay? Then it goes to the three. What does God require but to
love mercy and
do justice and walk humbly before your God? Or humble yourself to walk before God, is what it says. And then it goes 1 to 3 to 10. And the 10 were the Decalogue. Then it goes to the 613.
And then back down to
the summary of the 613 laws. That's all the laws, positive and negative, that were in what's called Torah, are Exodus 20 through Exodus 30. And that's what's read on those feast days when it says the law was read. Okay.
That was the picture that he was given on Mount Sinai then, was that section?
Well, the picture he gave was the whole thing. The picture he gave was even...
It's the cubits and it describes the tabernacle,
But he didn't write it all down while he was up here, he wrote it all down.
No, the only thing that was written down while he was up there was by the finger of God on the tables of stone. And again, remember, we've got the two stones, the two tables. One is the requirements to man, and the other is the requirements to God. We have the meat offering and the burnt offering. We have an infinite number of pictures of the same thing. So it's difficult to hear this because our minds are used to making things go linearly. We're used to linear thinking. God doesn't like linear thinking. He hates it. God hates deductive reasoning. Because deductive reasoning, the highest it can go is that you are dog shit. The only thing in this book that's empirically verifiable is the hopelessness of man, the fallenness of man. So the highest that reason can take you is that your sin is a scarlet. That's deduction. Induction is revelation, or can be. And it doesn't require consistency. God hates consistency.
Does he consistently hate?
Consistently hates consistently.
We spend an eternity trying to remember this.
Well, God, but I mean, again, it's like you don't ever have to remember anything.
Yeah, fortunately.
What? Well, he. I mean, you do what you feel. I mean,
well, you know,
I had to take a jillion notes.
I think what's happening is that, you know, we've begun to more and more experientially know what Passover is,
right?
And the coming out, and so now that these things as we see them, all of a sudden they make sense. Not because we got smarter, but because we're living. You know, we become a living expression of these things. And
you can't memorize your way into the kingdom. You can only experience your way into the kingdom.
Did you say pay your way?
Talk your way into the kingdom.
Talk your way out, that's for sure.
It's either free or it's more than you can ever dream. I told that to somebody the other day.
Yeah, it costs more than you can ever.
Yeah.
Who did I tell that to?
You said their meal was free.
Or it was more than they could ever dream about. It's one of the suits.
Oh, wait a minute.
Okay, you remember this. This is old. I've said all this, but the bread which had originally been the bread of affliction has now become the bread of the new state of existence. None of Egypt's leaven was to pervade it. They were to be a new lump as they were unleavened. As death had been abolished by death, as captivity had been led captivity, as the cross has become our tree of life, as servitude has become our freedom, so the bread of affliction has become our bread of new life and joy. And this is quoting from the Gospel of Thomas from the Nag Hammadi Library. I did not succumb to them as they had planned, and I did not die in reality but in appearance, lest I be put to shame by them. For my death, which they think happened to them in their error and blindness, since they nailed their man, and some say their father, unto the cross, unto their death. It was another, their father, who drank the gall and the vinegar. It was another upon whom they placed the crown of thorns, and I laughed at their ignorance. Now you can see why that wasn't included as gospel, because it's so easily misunderstood.
The idea of that trick,
yeah,
that you've talked about, you know, is in there.
But it could be.
It's like, it's a little, going a little too
far. Yeah, it could be. Yeah, I mean, this is the source of...
But it shows that there was stuff, you know, there's the knowledge of...
But this was the source, of the Passover plots. Look. Okay. On the 15th day of the same month is a feast of unleavened bread unto the Lord. 7 days you must eat unleavened bread. In the first day you shall have a holy convocation, you shall do no servile work therein. But you shall offer an offering made by fire unto the Lord 7 days. In the seventh day, in the seventh day is a holy convocation. You shall do no servile work therein. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, and this is what I want to talk about tonight. Speak unto the children of Israel and say unto them, when you be come into the land which I give unto you, and shall reap the harvest thereof, then you shall bring a sheaf of the first fruits of your harvest unto the priest, and he shall wave the sheaf before the Lord to be accepted for you. On the morrow after the Sabbath, the priest shall wave it, and ye shall offer that day, when you wave the sheaf, a he lamb without blemish of the first year for a burnt offering unto the Lord. And the meat offering thereof shall be 2/10 deals of fine flour mingled with oil, an offering made by fire unto the Lord for a sweet savor. And the drink offering thereof shall be of wine, the fourth part of a hin. And you shall eat neither bread, nor parched corn, nor green ears, until the selfsame day that you have brought an offering unto your God. It shall be a statute forever throughout your generations and all your dwellings. You cannot eat of the new land, the grain or the corn or the mystery of the new land, until you experience Passover, the Feast of Unleavened Bread, now the Feast of First Fruits. When you experience the Feast of First Fruits, then you can begin to eat the bread of the new land, of the promise. The only reason that there's no power in us is because we haven't yet eaten of the bread of the new land. With that, we'll quit.
Mm-hmm. You said,
hey, big guy. Hey, big guy.